This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Comey's cover-up revealed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
These explosive documents out today suggest, well, Hillary Clinton certainly got a lot of scrutiny about her email server. She also had people buried deep inside the federal government, including at the State Department, who helped try to keep her out of trouble.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This draft that was first obtained by Fox News shows the term grossly negligent, which is the standard for criminal prosecution, was removed at least twice, among other edits that downplayed the mishandling of classified information and reduced Clinton's legal exposure.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got some breaking news here, and that is James Comey's memos and the edits have now been released. This was the edits of the report on the exoneration of Hillary Clinton. And we've got the what was drafted and then the edits on what was finally issued. And it is dramatic and dramatically different. Let me start with this one. The edits not only appear to change the tone, but also the substance of Director Comey's position. There is one that has gotten a lot of attention, and this is the standard. Under the statute involving the private mail server, the actual standard for criminality was gross negligence. It was changed to extreme carelessness. But listen, this is the original draft statement. There is evidence to support a conclusion that Secretary Clinton and others used the private email server in a manner that was grossly negligent with respect to the handling of the classified information. That was changed, Jordan, specifically.
Yes, it was, to although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton, so think about the difference there. There is evidence, and although we did not find clear evidence, that was the change, that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. But again, so it changes the legal standard. It also says, changes whether there was evidence or not.
Yes, yeah, so there is evidence to support gross negligence. Andy, that is actually the statute for the way the server was handled. It's a gross negligence statute. They changed it to, and they said there's evidence to support it. That was the original draft. And then they said, we did not find clear evidence intended to violate the laws, but they were extremely careless. Those are big, significant changes. So what Comey wrote, and then what, guess who edited it? Peter Strzok. That's the agent that was on the Mueller probe. He was also the agent on the Clinton probe, counterintelligence. He was the one that had to be removed by Bob Mueller. He's the one who wrote all these changes.
He is. He's the one who was going to write the insurance policy to make sure that the president of the United States election did not go the way, if it didn't go the way he wanted it, he was going to have an insurance policy behind it. He had an agenda in mind. He had a determination that he had already made. He was going to save the country from President Trump is what he was. President Trump is what he was going to do.
By the way, we're going to go through all the changes that we have right now, and they're dramatic. I'm going to go to Thamben. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, in the second statement where he says that there's no evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws. If you go back to the first statement with grossly negligent, the whole purpose of grossly negligent as a criminal statute is that you don't have to have the intent to violate laws. It's that you are grossly negligent in how you have conducted, whether it's your business or this procedure. And so if you are grossly negligent, it wasn't that you were intending to be. Right. So they change it to a crime of intent in the second statement. And yep. That is not what grossly negligent means. Negligence means you weren't necessarily intending, but it was so bad, gross yep. negligence, that it is criminal.
We want to know the dates of this. So does Representative Johnson, Than. What is he asking for in particular?
Yeah, Senator Ron Johnson, chair of the Government Affairs Committee in the Senate. Jay, he wants names. We've talked about this many times on the broadcast. We now know what happens. He wants to know who in James Comey's inner circle was involved, and he wants them held accountable. So we can go through this, but the bottom line, Jay, is he is asking for names, and he wants those people removed.
We have just started, folks, on what the next hour will be. We're going to go through this line by line. You are not going to believe what's disclosed in this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge at the ACLJ. Your support for the month of December is huge for us. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So, the exoneration letter by James Comey was written about 3 months before, of course, witnesses were interviewed. Witnesses that were given immunity were interviewed. I mean, none of that took place, of course. So then we now have the original and the edits. And the edits were by Peter Strzok. That's what the reports are. Who's the agent that was communicating via text with Lisa Page, who was the lawyer, both working in Bob Mueller's team at that time. He was the lead investigator, but he's also the lead investigator on the Hillary Clinton matter. So we've already gone through his emails or in the text messages a little bit that we've seen. I don't think we've seen, I mean, there's supposedly 10,000. We've seen 385. But we do know that, and this is not a surprise, do we have the audio of the statement from Director Comey when he uses extremely careless?
It's copying over now. It'll be in our list.
And all of the ones that we have audio on, I want to make sure we have. All right, so we already gave you the one where he changes gross. He originally had gross negligence, which is a violation of the statute, and said there is evidence to support gross negligence to, though he changes it to, although we do not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton violated the laws, they were extremely careless. That's one. The next one, in the original draft, this is, I think, a really significant matter. This is the de-emphasization of classified material in Clinton's private email server. So the original draft said, similarly, the sheer volume of information that was properly classified as secret at the time it was discussed on email, that is excluding the up-classified email, supports an inference that the participants were grossly negligent in their handling of that information. Okay? The sheer volume. Then it's changed to say, in addition to this highly sensitive information, we also found information that was properly classified as secret by the U.S. intelligence agency at the time it was discussed on email, that is excluding classified. Again, de-escalating the nature of the conflict there, Andy, and what they're finding. Again,
First of all, they're talking about the sheer, in the original statement, the sheer volume of information properly classified.
That was properly classified.
Yeah, is now out in the version that the usurper Comey says in his July 5th speech. He says, in addition to this, and we now get, you know, and now it's sort of soft-pedaled, highly sensitive information, is really a downgrading of what it was. So we don't talk about the voluminous nature of the information anymore. We just say it's highly sensitive information.
Then he says, Jordan, this is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on servers not supported by full-time security staff like those found at the departments and agencies of the United States government, completely edited out of the final statement.
Yeah. I mean, that is, again, so the idea of what was wrong with what the Clinton staff did and what liabilities they had subjected this information to, completely deleted from Comey's statement to the public.
I mean, completely removed. So this is big statement because this was...
So that wasn't even like an edit of a phrase.
No, they took it out.
This was a sentence Comey was going to use, and they completely took it out.
Let me read it again. This is especially concerning because all of these emails, we have it on the screen, were housed on servers not supported by full-time security staff, like those found at the departments and agencies of the United States government. This is important, Andy, because this was the gravamen of the... This was the beginning of the concern. The idea that this was handled, this secret information, classified information, was put on some server from some company in a bathroom in a condominium in Colorado, which was a big deal for everybody, that gets completely removed from the report.
Right. Well, that's because it's what we call a tendentious report. In other words, it's written...
I call it home cooking.
Well, it is. Yeah, and that's a good old Southern expression, yeah. And I've used that a few times. But what it is a report intended to come up with a specific result, and that is to exonerate Hillary Clinton.
But here's the question. James Comey was the initial author of the memo. He's the one who wrote... This is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on servers not supported by full-time security staff like those found at the departments and agencies of the United States government. That is supposedly the words of James Comey. It was Peter Strzok and others that pulled that out.
And that's exactly what I think that Chairman Johnson is trying to find out. Who are the others? I'd like to know, is it Strzok alone? Was there other people who looked at this and decided that they wanted to soft pedal it and to take out these serious allegations that are their findings, I should say, that were made about Clinton?
Yeah.
And I mean, so you go from to that point where they completely take it out, the point before where they minimize what was not there. So the sheer volume of classified information as secret was discussed on email. That gets changed to highly sensitive information. So taking out the word classified. Then going from there is evidence of potential violation of the statute prescribing gross negligence in the handling of classified information to, although there's evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling, although there's evidence of potential violations. I mean, it's very different.
And then again, my judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case, which was nonsense because, by the way, he's not the prosecutor. Right. That was the attorney general's job. Right. Of course, she was a little compromised because of a little tarmac powwow with a little meeting there with Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a big development. Now, Fan, you got people say, because we want to know who authored what and when. I mean, the timing of this is really important. So tell us what Representative Ron Johnson's looking at.
So that's really at the heart of this letter from Senator Johnson, chairman of the Government Affairs Committee, Jay. Look, we know now what happened. These edits that you've been going through with Jordan have been made, but he wants to know who. And let me just tell you, there are only from these emails, he has screenshots in these letters, Jay. There are seven people who could have possibly made these edits. Let me tell you who three of them were. Peter Strzok, James Rybicki, who was Comey's chief of staff, or get this one, Andrew McCabe. He was one of the seven that was on this email circulation. And by the way, we only know six of the names, Jay. Another one? Redacted before it was turned over to the Senate. So he wants to know who, and he wants to know how they're going to be held accountable.
Yeah, I'm telling you something right now. I want to know who and how they're held accountable, too.
So it's six or seven people then, including, and then, of course, Jim Comey himself. So, I mean, Correct. You've got four that we have not yet identified.
No, he has identified six of the seven. There are two email chains that he has screenshotted into this letter, two separate chains, but three of the six are names that our listeners will know.
Okay. Let's play the comment from Senator Johnson.
We've seen the politicization of the FBI, so we are losing confidence in these institutions that should be bedrocks of our democracy. And again, I have no idea why the FBI doesn't come clean and provide this information to Congress. What are they trying to hide?
So next up, I mean, this keeps going. They first wanted the statement that Jim Comey was going to read to the public to look like they had really consulted the intelligence community on what they had done. But obviously someone, and this may have been a correct edit, because someone may have said, well, actually, we never consulted maybe the intelligence community. So the first one was supposed to say, the original draft statement, we have done extensive work with the assistance of our colleagues elsewhere in the intelligence community. How did that statement actually get read? We have done extensive work to understand that what indicates what might be there might be of compromise by hostile actors in connection. Completely deletes any reference to doing work with the intelligence community, which means that it was likely that this was wholly a decision based by Jim Comey and his staff, and that the intelligence community was not consulted. I mean, I think that edit was probably to correct a misstatement that Jim Comey wanted to come out there and look like he had more force behind him, and one of his staff said, no, we didn't work with anybody in the intelligence community on this.
I think this is, the scope of this is dramatic. I mean, I think we're
there's
just...
There's one more.
I want to go back on the fact that they edited out that entire discussion about the server, Andy, being held in an unsecure location. That is a huge deal. You're the Secretary of State, and you hired a private company, not a government-approved contractor, no security, and that was done, and that was a big part of how all this started. And to have it go silent, to me, is unreal.
Yeah.
Well, it is, and I mean, it's an attempt to cover up the criminality, in my view, of the conduct of Hillary Clinton, and we need to say it what it is. It was criminal conduct. If I were a prosecutor again in those days, I would have seen a criminal case here. It was enough to take it to a jury and let the jury decide by the criminal standard of beyond a reasonable doubt of whether she had violated the law or not. Who is James Comey, the usurper, who comes in and takes over Loretta Lynch's prosecutorial discretion and makes these edited statements? I mean, he had no right to do that. That was not what the director of the FBI was supposed to do. And we now see by comparing these drafts that there was an agenda here, Jay. And the agenda here was to exonerate Hillary Clinton, to soft pedal her criminality, and to make it appear that she was just acting in a careless fashion. That is nonsense.
Do you think, Andy, because of your time as a prosecutor, as a U.S. attorney's office, that Jim Comey knew that if he provided this information to the DOJ, even a politicized DOJ, that they'd have no choice but to go to a grand jury, and that a grand jury would easily issue indictments on this?
Very, very,
that doesn't
very
mean you'd be,
easily.
That does not mean you'd be found guilty, but to get those indictments is a big deal, you know, in politics. You think it would happen maybe even before the election. I mean, easy to get them?
Easy to get this information. I could have taken it to a grand jury and gotten a grand jury to vote that there was probable cause.
We're just starting this broadcast, and I'm telling you, we have just scratch the surface. We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. We also want you to support the work of the ACLJ as we work on these things, folks. Hey, your support of the ACLJ lets us do that. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ is matched. So do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls, in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've done a legal analysis of the before and after of what James Comey actually wrote and then what actually got into the final piece, and it looks like a lot of this editing was done by Peter Strzok.
At least that main part about, you know, taking out the criminal, the gross negligence to extremely careless.
So the gross, let's pull the gross negligence statute that we have. Let's put it up in the chat so I can use it. But here's what James Comey actually wrote in the original draft. There is evidence to support a conclusion that Secretary Clinton and others used a private email server in a manner that was grossly negligent with respect to the handling of classified information. So that is the actual statute language that would have been violated. Here's what he ended up saying as it was rewritten.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
So we did not find clear evidence when he originally said there is evidence. Then he changed the standard from gross negligence to extreme carelessness. Let's get that statute up, please, so I can reference it during the – we can get that from some of our team. We'll be able to reference that during the broadcast here. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. We've got people that have been holding. Terry's calling from Ohio. Go ahead, Terry. Line six.
How are we going to be able to trust the FBI right now?
The line agents do a great job of defending the American people each and every day. I believe that wholeheartedly. The problem is leadership. There's a leadership problem. I think Chris Ray's got a big job ahead of him to clean this up. Harry, your reaction to all this?
Well, Jay, I think we have clear and unmistakable evidence of at least two massive cover-ups. First, we have a massive premeditated cover-up of a national security breach by Hillary Clinton by hiding a private server in her basement and in Colorado. Secondly, we have clear evidence.
And they took that completely out of, that was in the initial, and they took a complete, the server comment was completely omitted.
Absolutely.
Let me say what it said. This is especially concerning of what Harry's just talking about with the servers, where they were being held. This was in the original draft. This is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on servers and not supported by full-time security staff like those found at the departments and agencies of the U.S. government. Completely removed it.
Absolutely. So all of those classified transmissions were available to private, nefarious international actors. And indeed, there is clear evidence that more likely than not, that information was accessed by nefarious
actors. We're going to get into that.
Except, and so far, for our listeners who only get the first half hour, I want to make sure we get through all the points. And this is the kind of final main point for now that Ron Johnson has found. And I want to go to Than on this. So the downgrading of the chance that there was a security breach, as Harry was just referring to. Here was the original draft statement. We assess it is reasonably likely that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's private email account.
Say that again. I think everybody needs to hear it.
We assess it is reasonably likely that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's private email account. That was the original statement. Here's what the edited draft statement said. Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account. So they changed it from reasonably likely to possible, only the term possible. And Than has noted that when you go through the track changes screenshots document, Than, you've actually got some comments on this specific change that have been redacted.
Jordan, the person that made that change in this document, and it is screenshotted in Senator Johnson's letter, included with those changes a comment bubble. We have all seen them to explain the change that he made. Now, most of the comments in these screenshots, we can see, they redacted this one, Jordan. So the person that made this change included an explanation in that comment. We don't know what that is. They redacted it before they turned it over.
I mean, this is, Andy, you and I have been practicing law for collectively 93 years. This is pretty unbelievable.
I can't believe this is happening. I'm so disappointed in the FBI's top echelons. As you said, Jay, the line FBI special agents who are out there every day investigating fraud cases and armed robberies and bank robberies and things like that. the terrorism cases. It's not their fault. They didn't have anything to do with this. But this is the corruption from the as we have an expression in Greek that the fish begins to stink from the head down to the tail. So it starts at the top and it goes to the bottom. And this is exactly an indication of where the fish started to stink. And the stinker here is James Comey and those who combined, conspired, and confederated with him to come up with these changes.
All right. Tony's calling in California on line one. Tony?
Hello, Jay.
Hi,
hello,
you're on there.
Andy.
Great. Thanks.
So I'm wondering, how plausible is it that almost all the top individuals in the intelligence community, the hierarchy of it, not the rank and file guys, did this go all the way up to the highest level of the Obama administration?
Well, it went to the director of the FBI.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it went to the chief of the counterintelligence of the FBI.
It's actually,
and it went to Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States.
But I think that it's actually interesting, maybe the opposite on this specific issue of the Comey statement, Tony, is that Jim Comey wanted to say that they had assistance, this is the exact quote, of our colleagues elsewhere in the intelligence community, and someone edited that out as if to say, we never consulted. You know, hey, Jim, we did not consult the intelligence community on this, so we can't say that. So that's completely edited out that they worked with anyone. Now, I don't know if that's because they wanted to hide the fact that they did show it to the intelligence community or that they never ever even passed this by the intelligence
community. So here's what it said. This was the original draft. We've done extensive work with the assistance of our colleagues elsewhere in the intelligence community to understand the indication there might be of compromise by hostile actors. That is completely taken out.
And it said,
we have done extensive work to understand. But they take out the part with the assistance of our colleagues elsewhere in the intelligence community. Yeah. These are huge, big changes.
Yeah, because like Tony's question. And her question is, do you think the intelligence community knew about it? Well, it's either they did, and Jim Comey didn't want to let us all know that, or his staff said, hey, we shouldn't tell everybody because then they're going to start sending FOIA requests to those intelligence agencies. Or the FBI was, which I tend to think maybe is possible here because Jim Comey was so high on his own horse. The FBI was totally acting on his own, just like he stopped any prosecutions, even though that wasn't his job, that no one in the intelligence community did review any of this.
Yeah,
which is pretty absurd when you're talking about an email server being potentially hacked by hostile actors.
Harry, how significant do you think all that is?
Well, I think it's very, very significant, and it's particularly significant in light of the fact that the FBI DOJ cover-up continues to this particular day. The DOJ and the FBI have consistently declined to answer direct questions. They've declined to release documents. They've declined to release individuals who are directly involved in this. And so, in some sense, there are at least three cover-ups. First, Hillary Clinton. Secondly, James Comey. And then the continuing cover-up by the FBI director and Rod Rosenstein. That needs to end immediately.
And, you know, I know Jeff Sessions is a good friend of ours, but he's got his spokespeople out there today now saying those texts that all really started leading to this weren't supposed to be released by the DOJ and that it wasn't authorized release.
Well, how did the inspector general send them out?
Well, he said he got the okay. And so
this is really great governance,
leadership.
I'll tell you something.
I mean, this is the problem. No good leadership. I mean, if you're President Trump, no wonder you've been frustrated by your attorney general. He recused himself and gave it to a deputy as well.
Hey, folks, we are at the midway point for the month of December. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We're in that matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So here's what we've got. We now have some of the edits of the Comey's exoneration speech put into perspective, what James Comey wrote and then what Peter Strzok and others took out. We gave you the first one, which is the gross negligence to extreme carelessness. Let me set the stage on that again. So 18 U.S.C. Section 793 says, gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information. Whoever being entrusted with or having lawful possession of or control of any document, writing, code, signal book, instrument, appliance, plan, notes, or information relating to national defense, one, through gross negligence, permits the same to be removed from its proper place of custody or delivered to anyone in violation of this trust, or to be stolen, abstracted, or destroyed, or having knowledge that the same has been illegally removed from its proper place of custody or delivered to anyone in violation of this trust, is guilty of the crime. So the statute's gross negligence. So the original statement written by James Comey was this: there is evidence to support the conclusion that Secretary Clinton and others used the private email server in a manner that was grossly negligent, which would be a violation of 18 U.S.C. 793. Instead, this is what he said.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information.
So it went from there is evidence to support a conclusion that was grossly negligent, which would have violated 793. Comey's a lawyer, he knows that. To, although we did not find clear evidence, and they removed gross negligence. So, Andy, you know, essentially they wrote out the criminality of the statute.
That's exactly right.
And said there's now no evidence.
They read the statute and they said, we've got to make sure that we don't put her in the crosshairs of a criminal prosecution. Well, how do I do that? Well, what you do is you go to your draft and you take out the words grossly negligent, because to leave those in would make her potentially guilty of violating 18 U.S.C. 793. It's just so simple. It's so obvious, too. We're going to take out the language that would make her an object of criminal prosecution. So you take out gross negligence. That means you take her out of the criminality of the statute, and you put in there extremely careless, and that's not in the statute. Therefore, she's not guilty of a crime. This is someone with an agenda, and the agenda is to exonerate Hillary Clinton, and that's what Comey does. And not only does he do it improperly, who is he, the director of the FBI, to make these decisions? This is Loretta Lynch. This is her responsibility. But the usurper Comey goes in and decides he's going to take it upon himself. So he's succeeded with his plan. She hadn't been prosecuted to this day, Jay.
Well, I think it's even worse than that.
After immunizing key witnesses like Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson, the FBI agreed to literally destroy evidence. Evidence which would prove gross negligence, at least, and perhaps prove intent.
I'm going to tell you something. I know, Jordan, you're having the same thing. My phone is, like, exploding on all this. I mean, people are completely outraged. So let me go quickly here to Than. What is the reaction in Washington with now all of this coming out?
Well, first of all, I think there needs to be a reminder that Director Comey is still ultimately responsible for this. But I think the initial reaction that I'm hearing on Hill is that whatever staff helped Director Comey draft the original statement, Jay, to your point about many of these agents doing a good job, they did a pretty good job on this statement originally. We don't know who did that. Now, here's what we need to find out. We need to find out who made these changes, and we know it was one or more of seven people. We know six of their names, and I'm just going to say three of them again because they're in Senator Johnson's letter. Peter Strzok, James Rybicki, who was Director Comey's chief of staff,
yep,
or maybe Andrew McCabe, who randomly canceled his appearance before the House Intelligence Committee.
I don't know,
minutes after the news about Bruce Orr broke.
I mean, when they were in Andy's office, yep, discussing the possible election of President Trump. All right.
And an insurance plan against it.
And an insurance plan against it. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget that matching challenge for the ACLJ at aclj.org. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast, everyone. So we're going to take your calls on this edited speech of James Comey, taking out things like evidence to support a conclusion to we do not find clear evidence. There's a problem with the server not being secured, to removing that completely. The sheer volume to no sheer volume. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statute, that gets changed. We have done extensive work with the assistance of our colleagues elsewhere in the intelligence community. Let's remove with the assistance of our colleagues in the intelligence community. So some real edits and substantively had some real impact.
And it not likely that it went from reasonably likely that hostile actors gained access to the Hillary Clinton's private email server to possible that hostile actors. So reasonably likely, again, these are all like kind of legal terms of art, and they're changing the legal terms of art, like reasonably likely, to things like possible, which is not illegal. Term of art exactly. So again, I mean, and here you can actually listen to Jim Comey deliver this. The difference between it's reasonably likely that hostile actors gain access, that would make everybody go, oh my, to possible. And here's him saying it by 40.
Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account.
Big difference.
It is possible. Big difference between it is possible and
reasonably likely.
Reasonable likely. This was what was going on. We got to take some. Yeah. Harry, let me put this in a policy context here. This is a significant problem of the fix was in before it started.
Absolutely. And it goes to Senator Johnson's claim that he made yesterday that the American people's confidence in the FBI and, for instance, in the IRS. In connection with the Lois Lerner scandal, our confidence has been rightly undermined. We have clear and unmistakable evidence that the FBI deliberately, and I would argue with malice aforethought, edited James Comey's statement in order to de-emphasize Hillary Clinton's culpability. I think it's clear beyond question she was culpable. In addition, her staff, Uma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, Heather Samuelson.
All granted
but
immunity.
So far, they have gotten away with it. They have signed either immunity agreements, or the FBI, for instance, began writing the exoneration statement on Hillary Clinton before they interviewed her and before they interviewed numerous important witnesses.
16 witnesses were on a witness list. This was written before that. Many were given immunity, and James Comey's agents had not even interviewed these people, Andy.
Yeah, I've never heard of giving someone immunity and not interviewing them. The idea of giving someone immunity is because you need their testimony to prosecute somebody else, okay? If I ever gave somebody immunity, I would want to interview them completely and thoroughly, find out what they had to say, listen to their proffer, see what information they had against the person that I really wanted, and then I would immunize them or insulate them, is another word, from criminal prosecution. But the idea that you immunize somebody and don't interview them and see what they've got to say is unheard of in the criminal prosecution business. And this is what Comey and the FBI were doing. This is a scandal, Jay.
Yep.
Let's get to the phones. Yep. A lot of people have been holding on. Let's go to Nancy in California, who's been holding on. Nancy, thanks for holding. You're on the air now.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Hi. Hey, I can't, if I'm remembering correctly, one time during his testimony, Comey said that they found thousands of classified emails.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, did he say that on accident, but it's truth, or was that just...
Then they said there were thousands of emails on Huma Abedin's server, and his agents worked tirelessly through a 72-hour period to get to the bottom of it and found out there was nothing of the classified. If there was, it was just three. And then he came back and had to clarify his testimony. No, there were only 12.
Emails
on the whole. I mean, his testimony before these committees is not credible.
And it's part of this. In the original draft statement, he was going to say the sheer volume of information that was properly classified as secret at the time was discussed on email. And he changed that to, in addition to this highly sensitive information, we also found that was properly classified. So took out that language about the sheer volume, which would lead to what you were talking about, is like this massive amount,
right.
Sheer volume.
He said his agents had to go through it. It was just tremendous what they had to go through.
And then
through.
He took that out and changed it to, there was some highly sensitive information that we found. And then, you know, it was three, then 12, then thousands, and then back to three.
So I go back again to Than on this. What is the follow-up on this on Capitol Hill?
Well, I think all these individuals will be called to testify, and we'll find out who made these edits. But look, let's really drill down on the point you just made, because the classification of material...
Let me ask you this. Do you think they're going to actually let them testify?
If they don't, I think Rod Rosenstein will be fired, and actually I think Andrew McCabe will as well. I mean, I think the calls will be so loud on Capitol Hill for accountability that they will either come and testify and give real information or people will lose their jobs. But again, let's go back to the national security ramifications, because even if there were no classified information on the server, which we know there was, but even if there wasn't, the intelligence community in this information found that it was reasonably likely that hostile actors access that server. I mean, the national security ramifications are beyond parallel. And Jay, let me just tell you one more thing. I think the reason when they made that edit, they also said that they didn't work with the intelligence committee, is because they know if you went to the intelligence community, they would say that that is exactly what they found.
We're just talking about if Peter Strzok is going to testify, and Jay on line three has a question about Peter Strzok's activity or failure to act. Jay in Rhode Island, line three, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, it's Jerry.
Jerry, sorry.
I asked previously on the feasance questions, is there a criminal feasance statute?
Like a non-feasance or malfeasance? Like if you have a duty to act or and you acted wrong, or if you
well, there's a duty to act on behalf. There's statute that duty to act. Here's what you have. They acted. They acted by changing the here's the problem. It's not so much that they edited his documents. It's that it was clear James Comey was going down one path, and these agents, and we know their bias, wanted it to go, Harry, down a completely different path.
Absolutely. So I think what we have here is evidence or potential evidence of active obstruction of justice by FBI agents. They changed the evidence in order to suit a conclusion that they had reached before they had even completed their investigation.
Which, Andy, is not the way you do a criminal investigation.
No, you don't come up with a conclusion and then... and then shape and mold the facts to support the conclusion. You take the facts and you follow them and see where they lead you. But they'd already made up their mind that they weren't going to do anything with Hillary Clinton. And then they just decided that they were going to mold and shape. And let me just say, Comey was in complicity with this. He knew
Absolutely.
What the very drafts were, and so he's part of it, too. These people may have made the edits, but he is the one who got up and made the statement.
But you remember, Andy, what Jim Comey said. He wishes he was a much stronger person. He's shown moments of weakness during this whole process.
Didn't he get scared of the president?
Yeah,
at one
that's
point?
What I mean.
He was scared of the president.
Think about if he had all these guys like Peter Strzok and Andrew McCabe who had an agenda, and regardless, to take out Jim Comey's view on this, he's a weak guy.
And he admitted that. So if he had all this pressure coming from his deputies saying, no, don't say this and don't say this and no, you're not going to criminally indict Hillary Clinton. We're not going to allow you to do that, Director Comey. And here's why. Well, he's a weak person and he's admitted so under oath to Congress.
Yeah. All right. Let's grab another call here, Jordan. Let's go to Kelly.
Yep. Kelly in Florida on line 6. Kelly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
And by the way, we've got phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110, so we'll take those calls in the last segment of the broadcast. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hi. Hey. First of all, thank you guys for what you're doing.
Thank you.
We've all seen evidence. I'm a retired police officer from Montgomery County, Maryland. It doesn't take a police officer to see evidence of laws being broken, enough probable cause to bring charges against all of these people for multiple crimes. They've lied on air to our faces. They've committed crimes back to Bill Clinton. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. He named her, and his sperm was on her dress. What does it take? Tell me, as an American citizen, how can I make sure that they're finally held accountable? Because we've known for the last 20, 30 years of all the corruption that's been going on. It's just getting worse and worse.
I think, Kelly, it's that we need more people like you who actually served in law enforcement, ultimately leading these agencies, and less bureaucrats and Washington, D.C. swamp creatures moving their way up leading these agencies, who play by this game where the average citizen, Kelly, who when you were a police officer would just have been arrested by you, is treated differently than the politician who's dealing with the Washington main justice or main FBI. And when you're dealing with main FBI, you're dealing with swamp creatures who make deals and aren't like the average law enforcement officials. I would even say the FBI officials out in the field who would make these arrests very easily. But we did get a comment. Brutus came in on Facebook. He said, handcuffs all around on Christmas Eve would make for a nice silent night.
I don't think it'd be so silent. All right, we're going to take more of your calls in the last segment of the broadcast. You want to stay tuned for that. I want to say again, we've got millions of you listening across the country, and thousands of you, tens of thousands of you watching on our various platforms right now, whether it's Facebook, Periscope, our ACLJ.org or other venues and platforms you can get the broadcast. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We are in the midway month, the month of December. The month of December is the biggest month of our year. And as Jordan has said, that's how we budget now for next year. Your support makes, we got our hands full, as you could see, busy time. Your support makes a huge difference. I want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org right now and support the work of the ACLJ. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So go to ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, and support the work here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We've got a lot of work going on. Your support is doubled. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So that makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls in this final segment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
I'm not going to say anything else about that song. It's not necessary to say. But boy, this is something else. All right, we got to take calls because a lot of you are holding. 1-800-684-3110. But let me first get it. I want to get a comment from everybody. We'll start with Andy. Andy, how significant is this, what we found out?
Well, it is very significant. We now have a situation in which in the top bureaucracy of the FBI, Comey and all his little confederates sat down and made a decision that they were going to exonerate Hillary Clinton, and they basically edited documents and changed facts around so as to keep her out of the crosshairs of a criminal statute. That is an outrage to the FBI and to all the line agents who do such good work across the country.
Andy is exactly correct. We have misconduct on a large and blatant level, but what is troublesome right now is clear evidence, which would expose this misconduct, is now still being withheld by the current DOJ and the FBI. That needs to be cleared up right now.
So I want to ask Jordan and Than the political consequences of this. How is this going to play in the body politic?
You know, it's going to lead to, into, I think, in the new year, a renewed round of congressional committees holding hearings. Some public, some behind the scenes. I mean, Thad, when it comes to Peter Strzok, is that going to be a closed-door hearing, or do you think they could do a little of both?
I think we might find out on Tuesday, Jordan, because Andrew McCabe has reached an agreement to, behind closed doors, to come back to the House Intelligence Committee. But before we move off that real quickly, Jordan, a little backstory on last Tuesday when he was supposed to come. His staff, Jordan, had already sent his security clearance info over to the committee so that he could appear the next morning. Then the Bruce Orr news broke, and suddenly he had a scheduling conflict.
Yeah,
nobody
right.
here believes it's, that, and yeah, now he's
and
coming
remember,
back on
Bruce
Tuesday.
Orr, for those that don't remember, the Bruce Orr situation is Bruce Orr was the number 4 ranking Department of Justice official. He was meeting with Fusion GPS and with Christopher Steele to put together that fake and salacious and unverified, as James Comey said, dossier on then candidate Trump. And his wife just happened to work for Fusion GPS, tasked with what? Writing up dossier with Christopher Steele.
And here's what's great, actually, is that as long as Peter Strzok and Bruce Orr are still employees of the Department of Justice and FBI, respectively, the DOJ and FBI, like they've already done in Peter Strzok's case, can say, you must go testify.
Yeah, then they need to.
They can compel him to go testify.
Immediately.
Now, they could go take the Fifth, I guess.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Hey, Maggie, you're on line 5. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. I just wanted to say I can't say enough about how grateful we all are for what
Thanks.
You do.
Thanks. You're very kind.
My question.
We couldn't do it without people like you supporting the work of the ACLJ.
I love the ACLJ. What's it going to take for something to move forward on all this? Where does it go?
Look, I mean, it's already going. I mean, you've got multiple committees investigating the Senate and the House. We're uncovering information. And and the American people are reacting, but so are your elected representatives. So I think, look, Chris Wray's got a real challenge at the FBI. And the Department of Justice also has a real challenge on all this. And I think we've got to be prepared for what's going to be a real fight. I mean, this is a real, real fight. And we got to be take this. We've got to uncover what took place here. That is owed to the American people. It's owed to our Constitution. This is it's like the IRS thing. This is the highest level of the government. None of this should just go with a pass. All right, let's go ahead and take line 1, Jordan.
All right, let's go to Rita. Is it Rhea? Rhea, calling you from Washington State on line 1, or Virginia on line 1. Rhea, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rhea.
Thank you. My comment or comment is, first of all, on Strzok. You know, when he said they needed to keep Donald Trump from winning the election, I believe that they were so desperate to keep Donald Trump from winning the election and have Hillary come in so that none of this would ever be revealed. It would be hidden for who knows how long.
Yeah, but here's the thing on that, though. You know, look, you can have whatever political position you want to have, for a candidate, against a candidate, not involved in a candidate. The problem is when you become the actual investigator investigating that person. okay? And then you bring that agenda to the investigation. That's what's causing the problem here, Andy. Not their individual thoughts and comments. It's the way it was. If you had those thoughts and comments and they were tweeting or texting them back and forth, and there wasn't an investigation or there was an investigation and you weren't involved in it, that'd be one thing. But this is quite another.
Well, it is. I mean, it's somebody who's supposed to be neutral and impartial and a fact gatherer and getting the information. And here he is with an agenda. We've read his texts. Those were released. Whether right or wrong, they were released. We know. And I don't think that there was anything wrong in releasing those text messages. Are they a secret? Is the security of the United States at stake because we find out that Peter Strzok calls the president and uses the F word with respect to the president of the United States? He had an agenda. He made a determination. They sat with Andrew McCabe. Please tell me why he's still in office.
Tell me why Peter Strzok is now in human resources, even though that's supposed to be like no man's land. Why is he still there? Why are any of these people still there?
If I were them, I'd be so embarrassed. I would quit.
But they're not going to give up their government pension. No way.
No, no. So Andrew McCabe will have to be fired. Then they'll try to say, it was obstruction of something. Right? I mean, somehow. I mean, because this guy, Andrew McCabe, should likely be going to jail. Here's why. There was some plan put together in his office to either undermine the president if he got elected. So an attempted coup. Okay?
I mean, I think, coup, I call it.
Yeah, I mean, they attempted.
No
obviously,
violence.
They didn't. It hasn't worked so far. But remember, their whole goal, Jim Comey, all these guys, was get a special counsel appointed, and undermine the president's first year in office and maybe his entire presidency.
Yeah, well.
If he got elected. That's what they were concerned about.
They were conspiring to do that
in the deputy director of the FBI's office.
And he is still the deputy director of the FBI.
Right.
Now, do you want to explain that to me, anybody that's listening to this? How is that possible? Okay, I got my answer. William, calling from Arizona on line 3. Go ahead. Well, maybe
Hello.
William's not there. All right, let's go to Dave.
Hello.
In William, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come back to you in a moment. We're going to reset it. Let's go to Dave in New York on line 4. Dave, go ahead with your question.
Hey, yes. I just think it's highly significant with this release of these edits that I think a lot of people just thought that James Comey had a red pen and he was doing this on his own. No, there's a team that was involved. This is a group effort. There's a FBI release that shows the drafts of his statement, and in that they redacted it, but you could see the recipients, the team that was discussing this. It was James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Bill Priestap, Peter Strzok, James Rybecki, Jonathan Malfa, James Baker, Tricia Anderson, and David Bowditch, and plus several names redacted. It was a group effort involved here.
You're 100% correct. Fan, give a quick analysis of where this goes up on your end.
I think the caller said it right. Those are the people that made the edits, and we need to find which ones made which edits. And, Jay, quite honestly, until they're all gone, until there's a sea change of that magnitude, I don't think they can be trusted. I think the words you used on the IRS case, institutionally incapable of correction, I think it applies here.
That's why I will double down and say a special counsel needs to be retained to go through this. You can't rely on Inspector General.
Yeah, yeah.
This is way too much.
I'd say let's let a few of these guys who have testify.
These are ongoing investigations, they're saying, that are impacted by all of this. This isn't just we found some strange emails. This is with ongoing millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer money to investigate all of this, and this is what's going on inside the agency? I mean, if you were a private business and this was going on and this was your audit team, what would you do? All right. What I'd like you to do is support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. And any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're going to get a matching gift for, which we really appreciate. So, again, as we close, we're midway through the month, December 15th, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. We encourage you to do it today. Makes a huge difference for our planning for next year again. aclj.org. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ